In Revelation chapter 9, John sees locusts coming out of a bottomless pit on the earth and wreaking absolute destruction. What are these? What does Revelation 9 say to a church that's struggling in the earth and to a people that can't understand why things are happening the way that they are? Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The world is often saying to us that they are advancing by ways of tolerance, love, peace, understanding. The problem is they are often promoting things directly against the law of God. What does the Lord have to say to a world that's standing in collective rebellion against Him? That's what we're looking at today on Abounding Grace Radio from Revelation chapter 9. As on Abounding Grace, we are continuing to work through the entire book of Revelation. It has so much to say to us of what the Lord is doing in the earth, how He is defending His people and warning a world that stands in opposition against Him. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. You can interact with us there. I love to read all of your notes and encouragements, so please keep them coming. And also, please remember, we are a listener-supported program. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and to a lot of people who listen and need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ as the Bible has revealed this glorious gospel. So thank you for all of your prayerful and your financial support. You can do that right at agradio.org. Here is now the program from Revelation chapter 9. This is part one of Jesus Puts the World on Notice. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. When you understand that the book of Revelation is helping a struggling, languished people, a church in the earth, who are feeling like nothing of what they believe is being validated, nor do they seem to be experiencing any real power, well, then you begin to understand how Revelation is answering us. It's a special book designed at the end of the Bible to encourage the people of God to endurance and perseverance. I mean, that's really one of the great goals of the book. Being provided a perspective, if you will, of things with a heavenly view. God is lifting us up. God's letting us look at things from on high. And that's what happened last time. Last time, we needed to see that God hears our prayers, doesn't He? We needed to know that when we pray, God answers us. God receives them. God hears them. All those prayers of His people come right up on into the throne room of heaven. They're mixed with incense by the angel. They receive intercession. And God is not just tucked away. We're not deists. God is not just tucked away. He spun this whole thing up and lets it go wherever He wants, disconnected from life. God is very much involved in this world. God is answering when His people cry. God is answering your prayers. And so that was pictured last time as the angel brought the prayers to God. The smoke went up into the most holy place, and then he takes the censer where those prayers were, fills it with fire, and hurls it back to the earth. That's answering your prayer. Well, that was the perspective last time as we looked at some of this. Well, if you were to come now to chapter 9 and say, Pastor, what is the main point of everything you read in chapter 9? What are we getting at this morning? I would say, I believe it answers a question that was posed in the Old Testament in one of the Psalms, and it helps us to sort of hold on to the main meaning of this particular passage. When Psalm 73 said, "Why do the wicked prosper?" Is it true that the wicked prosper? There seems to be no pains in their death. They seem to be going free, living a good life, living it up,
and they seem to flourish. Look who's at the top. Look who makes it. And the righteous suffer. Why? Is it true? And this will be a good way to answer that, because I believe it's the heart and message of Revelation chapter 9 this morning, which says, don't believe that lie that the wicked are prospering. Let me show you what it's like for the wicked in the earth. Let me tell you their story of what they're facing right now. And this will help immensely as we see how God is meant to encourage the church. Don't think that to choose a path of darkness in this life, as you have a choice set before you, a choice of life or a choice of death, don't think that to choose the path of darkness is an easier way. Yes, you suffer as Christians at times. Yes, the world rises up against us. Yes, we're persecuted, but you've got heaven secured for you. It's the message of Revelation. The wicked, in contrast, face unimaginable distresses, hardships, and things you can't see with your eyes, but that you should see nonetheless in considering Revelation. Revelation has encouraged us in all sorts of ways to say, listen, it's not the naked eye and the way things look that is the true reality of things. Remember, you can't even see that Jesus is reigning right now seated on a throne, but he is. Revelation's shown you that. But on the other hand, there are all sorts of bad things happening to the wicked that you can't see. But you need to consider it. Revelation 9 is helping us with that. Get perspective on life. So we're going to have the veil pulled back for a minute to see God's response to collective rebellion against him in the earth. What is God doing with all this? There's a lot of hatred right now. And I believe this is immensely helpful this morning of seeing things correctly. When you turn on the news, when we get panicked, when we fear, when we're worried about the state of things, to say, wait a minute, God has told us a little bit about this. That's Revelation 9. We're in the midst of the third cycle of the book of Revelation. We've considered the seven seal judgments that have fallen on the earth in the second cycle. And now we have it described in a different way, from a different vantage point, with these seven trumpets. God was pictured last time as hearing our prayers and flinging fire back down to the earth. And we read quickly through the first four trumpets, remember, last time. John saw these trumpets sounding, and what he described were plague-like phenomenons hitting the earth. Just like the Exodus in Egypt, when God's people were down in the world, in bondage in the world, being held by the world, and Pharaoh and that cruel tyrant was holding them, God plagued the nation of Egypt. We know those plagues. The same story is here given. The world is being pictured here as being hit with all kinds of calamities and frustrations. And you know this. You see it all the time. All of a sudden, you see economic distress. One of the horses is the one pictured, the pale horse with the black horse and the pale horse and a few of these. Remember the one that held scales in his hand. He's controlling the economy, the economics of the world. We're not in control of that. You know how quickly the stock market could fall apart. He's holding that. He's hitting it at times. We know Jesus said there's going to be famines, there's going to be pestilences, there's going to be earthquakes in various places. Jesus said these things have to happen. All that's described in these first four horsemen of chapter 8. That's where we are in this particular section now. And we know, I was thinking as we were singing a little bit ago, think about the turbulence that happens in the earth, that tumults from Psalm 46, around are swelling. His grace commanding wars to cease brings peace to every nation. Be still, for he is Lord, by all the earth adored, the Lord of hosts is nigh. He's the one who holds the peace. He's the one who has the prerogative to bring peace, or his wrath brings desolation. Well, we have a United Nations, that great attempt in the earth to bring peace to all the nations. How do they do? Not very well. Because it's God's prerogative to give peace. That power is His. He's the King. He's the Lord. He commands wars to cease. He brings peace by grace, or His wrath brings desolation. Well, that gives us something to hold on to here then as we go through this. Here in this next section, the Lord takes us, if you will, and gives us a closer look in these last three trumpets. Generally, they hit all of creation, but now we're focused on these trumpet judgments in the earth as an answer to prayers. We know judgments happen in the earth generally. We see it. We read it from Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from where? Heaven. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. They're being hit. And now, these next seal judgments, woe, 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 God is stopping and showing us what it's like for them in the earth. God is giving us a clear picture of what's going on in the earth. It has the effect of saying, let me tell you the story of what's going on in the world. You need to see it. You need to understand it. Let me tell you their story. And it comes with the fifth and the sixth woe as two major warnings before the end. And that's why I titled the message this morning, God Puts the World on Notice. That's what you see here. At the end of chapter 8, we read, then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. What John is now describing are a series of warnings here. The first one in the fifth, the second one in the sixth. And it's as if God is saying, be warned. You need to understand how the Lord is warning the earth. In particular, who are messing with His people. You have a whole history of persecution and martyrdom and Fox's Book of Martyrs and all those cries. Remember, chapter 6 are pictured as going up. How long, O Lord, till You avenge our blood? They've killed us in the earth. Don't mess with them, says the Lord. Don't mess with My people. I'm jealous for Jerusalem. I'm jealous with exceeding great jealousy for My people, and I'm going to defend them. That's the message of this book. How many times have you felt these awful things happen to believers, and it seems that God does nothing? Well, let me introduce you to the first woe, His answer. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. And you'll notice that it says, then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. Fifth angel sounds, and he says, I saw a giant star fall to the earth. A giant star. The passage here particularly calls this the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he's called Apollyon. And you have here described in this fifth judgment, this fifth trumpet, a locust army coming upon the earth. Now, this is where people go crazy in Revelation. If you want to say, I just read Revelation literally, what do you got to say these are? Literal locusts coming upon the earth. You can't say anything else. But no Bible interpreter, even dispensationalist, says that. Even Hal Lindsey and these guys used to say there were Cobra helicopters shooting people. You can get all kinds of ideas and crazy ideas from this. Nobody reads that literally. How do you read something literally symbolic? It's symbolic. Our question is what does it mean? That's what we're after here. Well, I think this message becomes very clear to us in things that Jesus said specifically during the course of His ministry. Remember what happened from the beginning with the angels. They rebelled in heaven. There was a group of angels, boys and girls, that rebelled. And they were kicked out of heaven. And particularly the cross event sealed their doom, especially for Satan. Revelation 12 will describe that Satan was kicked down to the earth, and he's come down having great wrath because he was overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That cross event crushed him. That cross event put him out. That cross event stopped the access. He is now bound here. The devil has come down to you having great wrath, says Revelation 12. Well, what's pictured here? Well, we've already considered the victory of Jesus. He's reigning. He's seated on the throne. And now we have pictured in this particular judgment, this particular trumpet, the fifth one, the activity of Satan in the world. What's he doing? Where is he? Well, we know Peter says he's like a roaring lion roaming around the earth seeking whom he may devour next. This has made him furious that Jesus has won. And Jesus described this in the course of his ministry. Remember when he was standing there with the disciples and he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There it is. I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. We tend to think, when we think of demons and demonic activity and Satan, that anyone outside of Jesus is on Satan's side. And Revelation is telling us something to correct that thought. Satan has no sides. Satan has no sides. He is all about the utter ruin and destruction of mankind. He does not care. He is about destruction. His name means destroyer. It's captured here. He's a menace. Think of a drug addict. A drug addict decides to take this course. What does Satan want to do with the drug addict? I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about, let's just say, someone dead in trespasses and sins who is destroying his life. Satan wants to take somebody like that, and Satan wants to begin to let sin dominate him all the way down to the path of utter destruction of his life. He wants to destroy lives. That's what he lives to do. That's what he exists to do. What the fifth trumpet is describing is God lifting his restraint on Satan's activity. That's so important. Martin Luther used to say that the devil is God's devil. Do you know what that means? What that means is he can't do a thing apart from the decree of God and the restraining hand of God. I'll show you that with Job in a minute. It's captured here. Satan falls to the earth. His army is captured as a swarming locust army coming upon the peoples of the world. God just lifted the lid to let it out. He permitted it. You know, I was just thinking as I was preparing this, we don't think of this about God. We don't realize that every morning we get up and everything goes on in an orderly way, and society goes on, and any amount of goodness that we enjoy in this life, harmony, peace, law, order, every bit of it's come from him. You have somebody break in your house, you're going to call somebody, and a police officer is there, and they're going to defend you. Who put all that into place? When evil happens, we have governments that are given to curb this and to stop this. Who put all that into place? The world only continues because of God's hand of providence. He is keeping things down. He's holding down the lawlessness to keep things going. What we don't realize is that he's preventing a lot of stuff always from happening that could happen. In other words, when some great catastrophe happens, what does everyone in the world say? Where was God in this? Well, I say, God's been holding this back the whole time. What do you mean? You have no idea what it could be. You have no idea where this could go. God has been doing a lot of good in the earth in promoting harmony and justice and peace for a long time. Every bit of good the world enjoys comes from Him. The care we see even in common peoples, that they care for their neighbor, that's all from Him. But as the world stands more and more in opposition to the Lord and His Christ, as rebellion grows, as hatred grows, He begins to let the lid of hell open. That's how you're able to explain the madness that's going on. The stuff that makes no sense to you. Satan falls from heaven. God allows him to go down and open the lid, the imagery here you're getting, and he opens it, and out comes a dreadful army on the earth. He opens the shaft to the bottomless pit, and smoke, it says, rose like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. From the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given a power like the power of scorpions of the earth. Where does that come from? The eighth plague of Egypt. Hand over the land of Egypt for locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been before nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. It's borrowing this symbolically. Same thing. The difference is these locusts don't eat green things. Here's what they look like. They look like horses. They got crowns of gold with human faces. They have women's hair, long hair, lion's teeth, giant tails that sting like scorpions. Their power is to hurt people for 5 months. It's a dreadful army. You ever seen an army like that? An imagery? Think of the imagery being given to you. Deathly terrifying. All right, let's answer it. What is it? What is all this? What does it describe? Satan lives to assault the world. Unleashing, as one pastor said, the smoke of deception, delusion, sin, he unleashes a moral hell on the earth. It's a spiritual assault leading to death. Do you ever stand back from all this and say, where's the sanity anymore? Law and order, what's happening to it? Moral degeneracy, what's happening to morality? Where's the line going? Better or back that we accept and tolerate? Directly against God's law. When you think of police officers right now, what do you think? That they were set up for your good. They were set up to promote justice and protect and honor and serve. What do you think might that look like if the restraint is lifted? Interesting thought, isn't it? What would it look like? Would they be attacked? Would they no longer function well? When you think of government, that's given for the promotion of justice and an orderly society. What would happen if the restraint is lifted and Satan brings his army? Would corruption come? Would it get worse? Where would it go? What would happen? Would there be dishonesty that marks it? What would happen to law and order in society? How about this? God gave the family. From the beginning, he made them male and female. The family was the basic building block of society that God put in place to make society work. You destroy the family, you destroy society. You will. What would happen if the restraint is lifted and Satan comes out? What would he do to the family? What would he do? Think he would attack the structure? You think he would want roles redefined that God gave? What would happen to men and women in this society? What would happen to fathers and mothers in this society? What would happen to children in this society? What would being given over look like? I know you're all very smart people. You know. You'd blur all creational distinctions and you'd create a moral chaos. A moral chaos. Lift the lid, let God's restraint. God says, okay, you want it, you got it. Here come the locusts. Smoke of deception and delusion.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.